Riding by, I did a double take. My eyes were captured by the out-of-place Greek temple, topped with chariots of Valkyries? It's the Austrian Parliament, adorned with statues of the goddesses of wisdom and justice. Who would think communicating civilly would be a problem? Yet, during the times of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the strain of so many languages being spoken often caused breakdowns. But one venomous fight on the floor of the historic chambers caught the world's attention, thanks to a visiting American, Mark Twain. As you enter the floor of the historic parliament, you realize that the room remains exactly the same as it was in Twain's time.
It was a good place for theatrical effects. I think that no other senate house is so shapely as this one, or so richly and showily decorated. Its plan is that of an opera house.
Right here, we need a little history lesson. The empire was ruled by the Habsburg monarchy. Herr Pittler, that's Pittler with a P, the parliament historian, fills in the gaps.
First of all, we have to keep in mind that Austria didn't have a parliamentary history in its own right for a very long time. And the overall parliament only appeared in 1861. Emperor Franz Josef was forced to introduce reforms. So plan was to have a parliament for the whole monarchy.
Americans, it's time to take out your mental maps. We're going to draw a picture of the empire as it was before World War I. Start at the eastern border of Germany, and you're going to include some or all of the countries I'm about to list. Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary, Romania, Ukraine, Northern Italy, Slovenia, Serbia, Croatia, and of course, Austria.
In 1866, Franz Josef was forced to divide the whole country into two halves. Austria on the one side and Hungary on the other side. And therefore, Hungary became a separate parliamentary unit together with Siebenbürgen and Croatia. And all the rest met here in Vienna. We actually had 11 nations who spoke 8 languages.
Before electronic translators? How did they do it?
Things have happened here recently which would set any country but Austria on fire from end to end, and upset the government to a certainty. But no one feels confident that such results will follow here. They say, it is disunion which has held our empire together for centuries, and what it has done in the past it may continue to do now and in the future.
Yeah, but how did they do it?
The Austrians always go for the easiest way. So, everyone speaking one of these 8 languages was allowed to speak as long as he likes in his language. But if he didn't speak in German, his speech was not put on record, because they only recorded German speeches.
Oh, that sounds efficient.
These 425 men represent peoples who speak 11 languages. That means 11 distinct varieties of jealousies, hostilities, and warring interests. This could be expected to furnish forth a parliament of a pretty inharmonious sort and make legislation difficult at times. And it does.
There were big rivalries, especially during the language war, about the Czech lands. Because in these provinces, the Czechs, even in those days, were nearly 70% of the people were Czech-speaking, and only, say, about 25% were German-speaking. There were some governments who tried to introduce a bill where both languages, Czech and German, would be allowed. And we had discussions for months going on that topic. On the one hand, people filibustering all the time, and on the other hand, people making noise with whatever they had in hands.
And what they had was an obnoxious item. They rattled their desktop writing boards.
Yeah. In case 20 deputies do that, no, nobody can understand anything. Yeah.
And it sounds actually like some Viking warriors with their spears on their shields. You know? And that was usually made by the German nationalists. And the Czech were always a special kind of humor. They responded by bringing in music instruments. And when the German nationalists went boom, 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 they started playing the trumpets and things like that, and playing actually Czech folk songs. So it was absolutely impossible for a speaker to make himself heard, especially in days when they don't have any microphones. But then again, it didn't matter anyway, because in 9 cases out of 10, he was filibustering anyway.
And as all this racket was going on, the representatives weren't just sitting quietly. They were throwing verbal insults across the room to each other. Shut your mouth, you dirty betrayer of the people. You have lied. The president was called a Polish dog. You keep quiet, pimp. Brothel daddy. And Mark Twain left to our imagination the worst with just dot, dot.
If the reader will go back over this chapter and gather its array of extraordinary epithets into a bunch and examine them, he will marvel at two things: how this convention of gentlemen could consent to such gross terms, and why the users were allowed to get out of the place alive.
But how did they do it?
The Viennese say of themselves that they are an easygoing, pleasure-loving community, making the best of life and not taking it very seriously. Nevertheless, they are grieved about the ways of their parliament, and say quite frankly that they are ashamed.
Okay, so, did they ever get anything done?
I think you can easily compare it with the United States. How much that happens actually at Capitol Hill, you realized in your day-to-day business when you're living in Santa Fe or any other town apart from Washington, D.C. Yeah? And what happened actually here in Parliament was, even in those days, for most of the people, completely unknown. And for a small group of journalists, artists, intellectuals, it was rather an amusing entertainment. But this is, of course, only history. Today, everything is perfect. I have to state that as a civil servant. End of political broadcasting.